but are you able to drink the cup that I drink? So let's read in Matthew chapter 3 about Jesus the Baptist. Starting at verse 8, John the Baptist is come, baptizing with the baptism of repentance, and Jerusalem and the inhabitants of that area come out to him, and it says in verse 8, bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And even now, the axe lieth at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that bringeth not good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you in water. This is what it literally says. I indeed, John the Baptist, baptize you in water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the garner, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire. Please notice, it says in verse 11, that the Lord Jesus shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. And just that you might not go astray as to what it means to be baptized in fire, look at verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor, he will gather his wheat into the garner, but the chaff will he burn up with unquenchable fire. There is the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and there is the baptism in fire. Now, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was received up, after that he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing unto them by the space of 40 days, and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, you heard from me. For John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And I'm reading it the way it literally reads, verse 13. For, in one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now I want you to turn with me to Psalm 75 to read a verse or two about the cup. Psalm 75, 4, verse 8, in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. Surely the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth, shall drain them and drink them. Listen to that verse again, please, because there are two cups. This is the bad cup, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. Surely the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth, shall drain them and drink them. And I think you are familiar with the other cup that is found in Psalm 23. It says, He prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And he says, My cup runneth over. Let us speak to God again in prayer. And Father, we thank you for all the interesting portions of the Word of God. Let us know that it will come flat and boring, but if we approach it with a sincere heart and with hunger, it is full of fascinating things. And we pray that some of the things that we have read tonight shall be a blessing to our soul. Let us understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. And so let our study together this night be profitable, we pray. We thank you for the blessings of the day, the fellowship of the saints. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Fellowship with the children of God and with the Son of God and with the Father. We thank you for this, our portion, our God. And now we pray to be fed. Who knows our needs better than thy Son? And he said to Peter, Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. So this night, feed us and challenge us, we pray. You know our sins, we confess them. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. A little bit about the cup before more about the baptism. You realize that there is no difference between the cup and the baptism. They're both figures denoting something that is going to happen in the lives of the children of God. But the difference is this. When he speaks of baptism, here are waters. You have heard of troubled waters. You have heard of peaceful waters. You have heard of living waters. But here are waters. And if you are baptized in water, it depends on whether they are peaceful waters or whether they are troubled waters. That in baptism, you are immersed into the water. That the cup also has contents, liquid contents. And what that cup holds, you do not go into it, but it goes into you. So this is the way Christ speaks. At times, a cup is what life holds for you. What does life hold for you? God says, it's in a cup, and I want you to drink it. So when you drink that cup, you are drinking what life holds for you. And when you are baptized, you are being immersed in the waters of peace, or the waters of trouble, or the waters of salvation. Whatever those waters are, you are immersed in them. The cup, it goes into you. So the figure is the same. When Christ said, Are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink? And they said, We are able. What is that cup? Do you not realize that in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was his death on the cross? He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then he said this in John 18, The cup which the Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? The Father had what life was to hold for his Son in a cup, and the Lord Jesus said, Shall I not drink it? Here is a baptism, and some refused that baptism, and some accepted that baptism. And here is a cup, and some accept that cup from the hand of the Lord, and some refuse it. But you must understand that God has a cup not only for his children, but he has a cup for every creature that he has ever made. There is a portion in life that God has for man. And you say, well, some men will not accept what is in that cup. I could have read you this portion, and there was a beautiful title, The Cup in God's Right Hand. That's how it's spoken of in Habakkuk. The cup in God's right hand. And it speaks the cup also in the Psalms and in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah. And it says this, if they will not drink of the cup, this is what you shall say to them. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, you shall surely drink. And so there are some cups that we can refuse, but ultimately there is that cup, and we have refused to drink it in life. For God says, you are going to drink it in the next life. And in like manner, the baptism. I refuse to receive Christ as my Savior, and I refuse to submit to baptism, a sign of my association with Him. The Lord Jesus said, eventually you shall be baptized. That's why I called Him Jesus the Baptist. When it says John the Baptist, it simply means John the Baptizer, the one who baptized. And the Lord Jesus is Jesus the Baptizer, because all that John could do is baptize in water. Please notice that. He acknowledged it. He said, I baptize in water. So that is a physical thing with a spiritual meaning. That's all that John could do. But he said, there cometh one after me who is greater than I am. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. You see, that's the spiritual significance of baptism. And immersion into something that is good, or an immersion into something that is filled with pain and sorrow. And that is the baptism in the Spirit that is good, and the baptism in the fire, which is a horrible thing to think of. But the Lord Jesus is the one who spoke of it. And there is no creature of God who shall not eventually submit to baptism. You say, how is that? We who have trusted Christ as Savior, we should have had it symbolized by being immersed in water. But whether or not we did, the spiritual significance of being baptized in water, I read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Understand, there was no such thing as baptism of the Holy Ghost. You never read in Scripture that the Holy Spirit baptizes anybody. Now think for a moment and you'll see. John the Baptist said, I baptize you in water. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Now who does the baptizing? The Holy Spirit or Christ? You say, well, John said, He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Then who is the baptizer? You say, Jesus is the baptizer. And only Jesus can baptize you in the Holy Spirit. There is no man, no matter how high his position is in the ecclesiastical world, who can do one thing for you other than what John the Baptist did. If you trust Christ as Savior, I can baptize you in water. But if it meant baptizing you in the Holy Spirit, I have no power to do that. I can do that which symbolizes the spiritual, but I have no power to do the spiritual. Only Christ does. And what Christ does is this, and that's why He's Jesus, the baptizer. All those who trust Him as Savior, He baptizes in the Holy Spirit into one body. So this refers to all the redeemed. But all of those who reject Him as Savior, in a coming day, that same Savior shall baptize them in fire. And He tells you what it is. It speaks about being baptized in the furnace of fire and in the lake of fire. You say then, all saved ones are baptized by Christ in the Holy Spirit, and all the lost ones are baptized by Christ in fire, in the lake of fire, in the furnace of fire. So now, is it correct to say Jesus, the baptizer? Inasmuch as He baptizes every one of His creatures, either for good or for ill, depending on whether they repent and receive Him as their Savior. So think of Jesus as the baptizer. Now, I told you that when Christ Himself was baptized, it was at two extremes. For 30 years, He lived in seclusion as a private man. But then He came upon the scene and submitted to water baptism, saying, "Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." So, from that day forward, His baptism inaugurated His public ministry. That was its beginning. And the Lord Jesus also had a baptism to be baptized with, and that was experienced the last day of His service for God, when He was on earth. Because when He was on the cross, that is when Christ, He began to enter into these sufferings in the garden, and even earlier. That His baptism Himself that He spoke of in Mark chapter 10, "I have a baptism to be baptized with," and in Luke chapter 12, that was the baptism, the sufferings, the agony, the substitutionary work that He experienced on the cross of Calvary. So think, two baptisms of Christ on the very first day of His public ministry and on the very last day of His service for God. So His life began with baptism for service, and His life ended with baptism. One of them was water baptism. The other was the baptism of sorrow and suffering and His soul being made an offering for sin. So Christ is the one who experiences two baptisms, and you and I experience two baptisms, the water baptism, but then we experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We have nothing to do, thank God, with the baptism in fire. But here is what man must understand. I told you that the figures are identical, but they simply are looked upon in two different ways. Something into which you go, or something that goes into you. The Lord Jesus is going to baptize you in fire if you do not trust in the Savior. But it says this, "There is a cup in the hand of the Lord, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and He poureth out thereof." It says, "All the dregs of it shall the wicked of the earth drain them and drink them." So, here is a cup, and the cup that is ours, and take this to heart, is found in 1 Corinthians 10. The Apostle Paul says, "The cup of blessing which we bless." That's what's so beautiful. There is a cup of blessing, and we bless it because the cup of Christ was the cup of suffering and death and separation from His Father. But now that cup that for Him was one of agony has become for us a cup of blessing. It was a cup of cursing, because it says, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." But His being made a curse, it has turned that cup of cursing which He drank for us into a cup of blessing. And in like manner, here we are in this natural world. We have no strength, we have no wisdom, we have no power. And the Lord Jesus comes and He baptizes us into the Holy Spirit, constituting us the one body of Christ. So there is John the Baptist and there is Jesus the Baptist. Because Jesus baptizes everyone. Whatever that water baptism signified, the Lord Jesus has the spiritual reality to it, and He is the one who administers that. So keep this in mind for a moment. The baptism that Christ bestowed upon His own on the day of Pentecost. That's why I read to you Acts chapter 1. He told them. He said, "John baptized you in water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence." And that is why He told them in Acts 1:8. He said, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Now listen. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you." Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, two things happen. It said, "In one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, when you are baptized, you go into the element. And it said, we were all made to drink of one spirit. And when you drink, the element goes into you. So if it's a cup, it's what you drink. It's what life holds for you. And when you are baptized, it is the environment, the experiences of life into which you are immersed. And the Lord Jesus is the one that administers all of those things. So I am a member of the body of Christ. I am indwelt by the Spirit of God. I have the filling of the Spirit, and I have the indwelling of the Spirit. Why? Because the Lord Jesus is He who baptized me in one Spirit. Grasp this. There are two elements. When John baptized, the element was water. When Christ baptized, the element was the Holy Spirit of God. And being baptized in the Spirit, that is the element, we are constituted the one undivided body of Christ. And that is why the thought of Christ as being the Baptist is so glorious, because John and any other man can only do something in a symbolical way. But the Lord Jesus Christ can do everything in an actual way. The spiritual, the signifying way that John the Baptist and all preachers after him, that's what they can do. But then Christ has done the actual thing. So here is Christ the baptizer. But let's think about that cup a moment. Because God has in his hand two cups. A cup of blessing and a cup of cursing. And the sad thing is this, that just as in life, and that was the time that Christ was speaking of when he said to his disciples, are you able to be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? They said yes, and they were. But your baptism, like unto Christ's baptism, is something that occurs in this life. It is your experience as you live for God. It is something entirely different from your being baptized into the body of Christ. In one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. You're drinking the cup. It's not what Christ experienced by dying on the cross, but our drinking the cup is accepting from the hand of God the blessings or the sufferings or the portion in life he has laid out for us. And it says this, I told you, I wish you could read it. You'll find also a reference in Isaiah 51. And it's so good that we who have suffered at the hands of God, because it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It says in Isaiah 51 that some people have had to drink of a bitter cup from the hand of God. It said, but after you drink it, you will have to drink of it no more. That is a beautiful thing. Have you ever been chastened with the Lord? Have you ever gone through bitter experiences of the Lord because of some sin that you committed? God said, you have to drink of that cup. The nation of Israel had to do it. Why? Because they had committed idolatry and adultery. They had abandoned the worship of the Lord. And God said, you have a cup to drink. We're not going to drink that cup. God said, tell them this. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, you shall truly drink of that cup. And when Nebuchadnezzar came down and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple and took all the nation of Israel away captive, then they drank of that cup. But thank God, you read at a later date that when the other temple was built, later in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, the temple that had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, another temple began to be built. And it said that when they laid the foundation thereof, it said the young people that had never seen Solomon's temple shouted for joy. And it said the old ones who had seen the grandeur of Solomon's temple wept and wept and wept. But it said there was so much noise going on you couldn't tell the weeping from the rejoicing. And so what had happened was this. These old ones had drunk of the cup of the Lord. A bitter cup when Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed everything that was sacred to them. But then, having drunk of that cup, it was taken away. And now God has a cup of blessing. And that's the consolation for us. Why do you think it says this? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why do you think it says in Psalm 23, He restoreth my soul? Because there are times when our souls are in fellowship with God, when our souls are alive, and then there are times when our souls are shriveled and we are away from God. But the Bible says, He restoreth my soul. So thank God, there are times of departure, but there are times of restoration, and there are times of drinking a bitter cup that God did not want us to drink, but we must if we sin. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But having drunk that cup, God says, now you've drunk it, and you'll have to drink it no more. It says this in 1 Peter, He that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. God trusts that you've learned your lesson, and you'll cease from sin, and you'll not have to drink of that bitter cup anymore. So, there are two cups, and let me tell you about them. And it's so interesting when it speaks in Habakkuk about the cup in the right hand of the Lord. It's a good message somebody can preach someday. The cup in the right hand of the Lord, the man of God's right hand. And so you put these things together. But here is the cup in the right hand of the Lord. And there is the bad cup and there is the good cup. And in the Psalms, this is what you read. It says, there is in one of the bad cups, it is a cup of fire and of brimstone and a burning wind. That is the portion for those that are wicked in this life, as well as the baptism into fire in the world to come. But notice the bad cup. It contains fire and brimstone and burning wind. And in Ezekiel it says it contains astonishment and desolation. And it contains everything that happened to Samaria when God destroyed it. That is the bad cup in the hand of the Lord. And God says, you are going to drink it. We refuse to drink it. God said, you must drink it. You shall surely drink it. That is the bad cup. But what is so beautiful is that there are more cups than one. And listen to the other cups. It speaks in Jeremiah of the cup of consolation. It speaks in the Psalms of the cup of salvation. And it speaks in Psalm 23 of the cup of running over. Now, from which cup had you rather drink? The bad cup? Fire, brimstone, burning wind, astonishment and desolation. Or would you like a cup of consolation and salvation and a cup of blessings that's so full that it's running over? You say, why, to ask the question is to answer it. Why, of course. And for all of those that are in fellowship with God, we have the good cup in His right hand. And He says, take it and drink it. The cup of consolation in Jeremiah. They had missed that cup of consolation, but we do not realize it, but it says, when He, the Comforter, shall come, it could be also when He, the one who gives consolation, comes. The word parakletos means someone that comes to your side, and He gives you whatever assistance you need. It may be exhortation. It may be consolation. It may be counsel. Whatever you need, when the Comforter is come, and therefore, we can drink of the cup of consolation. And in Psalm 116, it says, I will take the cup of salvation. Think of all the blessings of God that are associated with your knowing that your sins are forgiven and God is your Father. And so you can drink from the cup of salvation. No sinner has any right to that cup, but you will take the cup of salvation. Enough of that, but then there's one more. There is the cup of David in Psalm 23. My cup runneth over. But what does it run over? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's in the cup. He maketh me to lie down in still beside still waters. He leadeth me into the green pastures. He restoreth my soul. What does that mean? It means that that cup that David is speaking about contains every good thing in Psalm 23, all the blessings there. And he says, my cup runneth over. And so God has that cup, and he gives it to you running over with blessings and good things. And he says, now drink this. And how long does it last? That cup is so full of blessings that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And it goes on after that. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is the cup in God's right hand of those who have trusted him as Savior. So God has good things for you, or God has bad things for you, according to what you will. Some of the things that we would definitely say, Lord, they're hard things. He puts it in this light. I told you this morning. It says, for unto us it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You say, it's given unto me to suffer for his sake. I thought the suffering would be a bad thing that came from God. But it says, it is a good thing. It is given unto us to suffer in his behalf. I thought of this. If I had been Peter, and I had denied my Savior 3 times, and then if I had forsaken him and fled when he was in the garden, I would have prayed to God, give me another chance, Lord. Give me another chance. And God did give him another chance. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and with boldness, he spoke out and testified for his Savior. And that is why the sufferings that you experience in life, if they come from doing the will of God, it says, unto us it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now listen to what Paul says. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it speaks about him being one who is prepared to suffer all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Think of that. He said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may receive the eternal salvation and the blessings that come from God. He said, that is what I suffer for. Now, are you willing to suffer that way? That is the remarkable thing, that some people flee suffering and some people embrace it. What Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 is this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Because if somebody like the Philippian jailer is going to get saved, there has to be suffering. And Paul and Silas said, Lord, we are willing to endure that suffering. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And I ask you this morning, would you be willing to suffer crucifixion to sit on the right hand and left hand of Christ? You say no. But would you be willing to suffer imprisonment and lashing that one sinner might be saved? Think, Paul and Silas were doing the will of God. They had prayed. They wanted to know where to go on their missionary journey. And they had a vision in the night, come over into Macedonia and help us. And they went over and helped. And instead of it turning out for peace and contentment and joy, they were taken and beaten and cast into prison. But the church at Philippi was started then. And so Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So if you and I are God's children doing God's will, if any sufferings come our way, it is for the blessing of the lost. It is for the blessing of the saved, because Paul also says this. Paul said, I fill up on my part that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ for his body's sake, which is the church. Nobody can get salvation other than Christ through his sufferings. There are redemptive sufferings, but there are perfective sufferings. And think of Moses going for 40 years with the children of Israel in the wilderness, and what he endured to perfect them, to bring them the word of God. And think of the Apostle Paul, all that he went through all his lifetime to perfect the churches of Jesus Christ. Because he said, I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, without spot, without wrinkle. So this is something about the baptism and the cup and about Jesus the Baptist. Let us take all these thoughts to heart. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful that you've shown us that there is more to life than what we see in this world. And once we trust Christ as Savior, there is more to salvation than simply trusting Him and being baptized and then going to church. Let us understand, our Father, that you have a will to be done in this world. And your will is to be done by your people. Did you not say to Paul, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And there are souls that need to be saved. And you have sent men to tell them the way of salvation. And there are Christians that need restoration. And you have sent Christians to restore their souls. So what have you had in life for us? Whatever life holds for us. If the cup contains good things, cup of blessings, let us drink that. And Father, if at times that cup that is a blessing, even though it is painful to us, let us be willing to take it from thy hand. And let us be the men and women of God that you would have us to be. We've been baptized once. Let us accept the other baptism. We've drunk of one cup. Let us be willing to drink of the other. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.